Hey everyone, it's Ron Johnson, and this is the Ron Johnson Show. On today's show, we're going to talk AFC, NFC championship games. There's a lot of stuff that happened. One kind of went the way we thought it would go, and the other one, it didn't quite go the way we thought. And so we're going to have to talk about that. Also, the parlay, the RJ parlay, $11,000 in one of them, $14,000 in the other one, almost hit. So we're gonna break that down. So as you build into the Super Bowl, if you want to play along with FanDuel and understand these parlays, hey, I'm going to be here. Me and Sam, we're going to break it down for you. And then the Timberwolves. We made comments about that on Friday's roundtable, and it happened. But what happened? We'll talk about that next, coming up on the Ron Johnson Show.
Locked On Sports Minnesota Podcast. It's endless Minnesota Vikings talk with the diverse voices of your local experts. Now the Ron Johnson Show. On the field, in the broadcast booth, Ron Johnson is Minnesota sports. He's played with them, hung out with them, and grown up with all the big names in Minnesota sports. They're hanging out with Ron Johnson. It's the Ron Johnson Show on the Locked On Sports Minnesota podcast. And it starts now.
Hey, everyone, I'm Ron Johnson, and this is the Ron Johnson Show on Locked On Sports Minnesota. I want you to know this episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Just visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. And remember, you can download the Amazon Fire and the Roku apps. They have the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on your TV. Just go to search for apps, put in Locked On Sports Minnesota. You'll see our app. Download it to your TV. You can get all the shows, all the updates. Hey, you can get the parlays. We talked about the parlays as I bring Sam Extram to the show, my producer. Sam, the parlays on FanDuel.
Close.
Very close. And so for those that don't understand parlays, let me tell you this. I'm a novice as well. I'm not a big time, like I'm reading all the tea leaves and trying to figure. I'm a novice. I just go with my heart. I go with my heart feels. I look at the app. Very simple. You just go on, download. You have to pick your state. Unfortunately, Minnesota, you guys aren't legally able to do it. But if you want to drive over to Iowa, feel free. But when you look at the parlay, the Eagles one was close. We missed the Jalen Hurts run. The Jalen Hurts run, 11 yards. We were short. 50-plus yards for Jalen Hurts to hit. Also, 43.5 points. If the 49ers just found a way to score one more touch, like if every single quarterback on their roster doesn't get hurt, Hughszczyk was about to play quarterback. That's where we were headed. Hughszczyk, their fullback, was about to play quarterback because Brock Purdy hurt his elbow, so he couldn't throw. Josh Johnson, concussion. We know Jimmy Garoppolo's out. We know Trey Lance, like four quarterbacks. Literally, that's Tom Brady. Like they should just put the bat signal up and ask Roger Goodell at halftime, like, hey, is there any way we can just fly Tom Brady here on a jet? Or he might even be near here anyway. Come on now. Because I did see that randomly Bosa was there. So maybe Tom Brady was somewhere hiding in the building. But that was the one. But then the other one, T. Higgins, anytime score, he scored. Travis Kelce, first time touchdown scorer. He was the first touchdown scorer.
That was the toughest one, and you got it. That made the game interesting for me, Ron, because I was I was rooting for you the whole time.
And when you think about that too, of everything that could have happened when you gamble, they were in the red zone three times. Both teams three times. So you got the Bengals went in, had to kick a field goal. Chiefs went in both times, kicked a field goal. Third time. Finally, Travis Kelce, because I'm listening because I was dropping my daughter off to softball here and there. And so I was kind of in the whole NFC game, but the AFC game, I was kind of being dad. And so I'm listening on the game. I'm watching it on my phone. I got the NFL app on my phone. I'm watching it. And they get in the red zone. I'm like, come on, just Travis Kelce this thing. And then it was like fourth down. I'm like, oh, they're gonna run the ball or something. And then I remembered, I'm like, Patrick Mahomes is hurt. He doesn't have that. Normally, that would be some kind of weird Patrick Mahomes, like shovel, spin around, ring around the rosy play. No. Let's go to Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce gets the first one. I needed Travis Kelce to get a second touchdown. He almost had it, but I think it went to MVS. Scantling got the second touchdown. Could have easily been to Travis Kelce because Kelce was over to the left. And my wife didn't understand because I'm screaming, like, just throw the ball to Kelce. She didn't understand what I was screaming about to, like, explain it to her. And then, unfortunately, I did pick the Bengals in the money line just because. And again, it was almost there, though, because if he doesn't push him, if Osai doesn't push Patrick Mahomes, one, you got a bad ankle already, so why are you pushing him? I get it. Emotions, everything. And even his reasoning behind it was just mentally not in it, because he said, oh, I was pushing him hoping he'd go backwards. What? You put what? So you pushed him forward in his back, hoping he would go backwards to keep the clock running. I don't know what college that guy went to, but clearly physics wasn't offered at that school. And so when I heard that, he's like, yeah, I pushed him thinking I can get him to go backwards. And I'm like, all right, now you're trying too hard. Like, you just made a mistake. Stop explaining it. Because the more you explain it, you're SpongeBob in this thing. Like, you're literally SpongeBob in it. You're going too far into the explanation. Like, I love BJ Hill having his back. But that was that. So that was my takeaway as far as the parlay and the FanDuel. My biggest takeaway, so let's jump into this, Sam. My biggest takeaway, and I'll stay with the AFC first. My biggest takeaway from the AFC game was Joe Burrow is legit. The Bengals are going to be a good team for a good amount of time because T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase are both young receivers. You do have Hayden Hurst as a tight end, solid. Joe Burrow, legit. Joe Burrow's still on that first contract.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow's on that first contract. And I think that's where it's going to get interesting is when they start having to, because you got to pay him a lot. You got to pay him a lot of money. I mean, people are saying, you know, the Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, AFC, you know, is giving them like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning vibes. And I'm like, man, that's high praise, but I could see it. Because in the AFC, I don't see two other teams right now that feel as complete and dominant, whereas the Chiefs aren't even complete. They put a bunch of hodgepodge receivers together to try to help out because they lost Tyreek Hill, and they're back in the Super Bowl without Tyreek Hill. So that tells you a lot about that Chiefs offense, because everybody tried to say it was Cheetah. Cheetah made that offense go. You can throw it to him, he can give you 55 yards every time. He can give you a touchdown. Patrick Mahomes on one leg got them to the Super Bowl against a very good Bengals team. This was not the other game. This was two good teams, fully ready to go, fully healthy, other than Patrick Mahomes' ankle. And so that was my takeaway that I think we're seeing the early possible futures, but contracts are going to matter. Also, I'm going to say it was the best two teams in the AFC. They got it right, because I just don't know if the Bills – and I think, you know, and the Bills down in that stretch, maybe they do it, but they didn't show it before. So they had the best two teams. That was my takeaway. What was yours from the AFC?
Yeah, you're right on Burrow. Two plays in that game that stand out. Third and 16 on their final drive. Now, they didn't convert, but third and 16, he's backed up in his own territory. Drops back there, fearless. Hayden Hurst, first down. And there was a fourth and six earlier in the game. Drops back, double coverage. Ja'Marr Chase, fearless, first down. And Ja'Marr Chase is good. That was a Justin Jefferson-esque kind of play that he made, sandwiched between two defenders. But Patrick Mahomes, man, at 50%, 25%, he still makes more plays than 29 other quarterbacks in the league. I mean, he was still doing wizard stuff. He's still magic. And of course he wins the game basically on a play with his legs on a horrible ankle, because he was not healthy, Ron. No. I mean, that was hurting him, and he gutted it out. Final takeaway, though, Kansas City, they're talking about 8 rookies playing on defense. Steve Spagnuolo is unbelievable. He's done this now several years in a row. They don't have a lot of money, Ron, to throw around on the defensive side of the ball, and somehow they always have really good coverage. They've got good pass rush. I don't know what they've got in the water there. But the Kansas City defense, as impressive, I felt, as their offense yesterday, if not more. Really, really good stuff. And when you have Spagnuolo, who's great, who sticks around, Eric Bieniemy somehow can't get a head coaching job, he sticks around, and Andy Reid, they've just got so much continuity on that coaching staff. It doesn't surprise me that they always are in this spot.
True, true. And everybody remember, before we jump into the NFC, because we're going to talk NFC, this is powered by FanDuel. FanDuel, make every moment more. And this is why I believe that, because I wasn't bought into these games completely. Like, I was going to watch them because it's my job. We have to talk about it. We have to talk about it next season when we open up Vikings Game Day Live, and when we open up the football season training camp. We have to talk about the AFC, NFC championships. We have to tweet about it. It's our job. But when I started putting these parlays together, I was really bought into the moments in these games. And so looking at the NFC moments, my biggest takeaway from the NFC is the Eagles got away with murder. The Eagles got away with it. They basically, it's like robbing it, because I saw the Chiefs do the Danielle Hunter celebration. They kicked the door in, and then they tried to steal money again out the safe. So they added on to it. But when you look at the Eagles, and you look at what the Eagles got away with, they walked into a bank, and the security guard was on break. Like, they walked into a bank, security guard was on break, police, they were chilling. They were nowhere to be found. I don't know where the police were at this moment, because when they walked into that bank and started stealing the money out the safe, there was nobody there. Peyton Manning used to call himself the sheriff. Why? Because he always made sure he was the captain on the field. He was controlling the field. The sheriff was in control at all times. That was the problem. 49ers didn't have a sheriff. Start off with Brock Purdy really well. Hassan Reddick. I mean, man. Talk about just adding a piece to the puzzle. Like, when you think about the Vikings and some of the pieces they could have added, Hassan Reddick could have been one of them. Hassan Reddick literally put his stamp on the game to start. If he doesn't get to that play, and not to say just hurt him. Like, I'm not talking about the injury part. That play alone, like, there was a wide open receiver, and Hassan Reddick kind of, like, Superman jumped, got the ball free. It ended up being a Linval Joseph fumble, which, again, I wish the refs would stop blowing the whistle so fast, because you can always go back and watch the play and say, oh, yep, nope, it was ball was in his hand, incomplete pass. If the ball comes out and a guy picks up it, just wait. Let Linval Joseph go run so we can put that oxygen mask back on.
In Philadelphia, that's where he did the first time.
Exactly. Let Linval rumble, and then let him go put that oxygen mask on. But that could have been a Linval Joseph touchdown, because the only thing behind him was a hurt quarterback and five offensive linemen. I like my chances with Linval Joseph taking off. And when you think about that play, that changed the scope of it. Then you bring in Josh Johnson. He gets a concussion. That felt like the movie with Jamie Foxx, Any Given Sunday, where all the quarterbacks go down and Jamie Foxx. Unfortunately, there was no Jamie Foxx on that bench to save the 49ers. Like, Jamie Foxx, put him on a 10-day contract. Bring him out the stands. I literally would have got on the PA mic and said, hey, is there any quarterbacks in the building that want to play for San Francisco today? Anybody. What was the dude from the Eagles, the movie with Mark Wahlberg, Vince Vimbali or whatever? Remember?
Invincible. Invincible. Mark Wahlberg. I don't remember the guy's name, but I remember the story.
Yeah, a guy like that. In the stands, can play, played high school quarterback. Like, 49ers need somebody to just throw the ball, like 10 yards. They couldn't even get that. Because once Brock Purdy came back in, arm was hurt. So that was my takeaway from the NFC championship game. I just felt like it was unfair to the 49ers. They had worked so hard to get to this point. Shanahan had done so much to go from Jimmy Garoppolo to Trey Lance to Jimmy Garoppolo to then Brock Purdy and then to Josh Johnson and then back to Brock Purdy. Like, I know at some point he's sitting there like, man, what else is going to happen? Like, are my headsets going to go out? Like, are they going to grease the poles to our locker room? Like, are we not going to be able to grab the handles because the poles are greased already? Like, and by the way, and I know the media does this on purpose. Police grease their poles or grease the poles. It's not a great headline. I get it. Everybody thinks it's funny. But when you think about the Tennessee police officers that got fired for probably having their poles greased, like, come on. We got to find better terminology, people. But yeah, and in Philadelphia, do better. Stop climbing. Like, why? Like, they're going to win the Super Bowl. They're going to have to grease the poles again. It's going to, like, why are y'all climbing the poles? Like, what is this? Like,
it's like a challenge. It's like, hey, we're greasing the poles. And so I already saw a video of people climbing them. The Philly fans are nuts. Did you see him chirping Bosa?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the Joey Bosa outside the deal. Chirping him. He said, I'm rich, you're broke. Like, I don't understand. I get it. NFL players and celebrities, like, you can't win arguing with trolls. Like, no. And I will say this. I always talk about trolls on Twitter. that love to chirp at me. And I always say, like, you would never say that to my face. Well, that's a guy right there that would. And I thought about it later, too. I feel like some of these trolls would say it to people's faces because they want to get punched by a celebrity. Like, they want to, because then they're famous for getting punched by a celebrity. They could probably sue and say, oh, my nose is broken. I'm going to call TSR injury law, and we're going to sue you for $100,000 to fix because I need a nose job. And like, but they chirped them in public. You know, he said, oh, are you live on your TikTok stream or something? And but yeah, so that was my takeaway. I just felt like, yeah, the Eagles did a great job. Like, even one of the plays where they made the two linebackers freeze, I tweeted it out. That's three Ron Johnson on Twitter. There's a play where he hands it off to the running back going left. To the right, he has Bunch. They ran a bubble. The line is treating it like RPO. He also then fake and rolled out. So there was so much in that where Warner and Greenlaw couldn't move. Like, you see the handoff, and I posted it on Twitter, both linebackers are standing still. They're not even moving because they're like, look, we gotta honor the fake. We got to honor the slant coming behind us, and we got to honor the bubble screen. So I can't really just run to the run. And so because he had to hesitate a second in Greenlaw, Jason Kelce, 1-1000, 2-1000, he released. So because he knows, like, okay, Jalen's going to get rid of the ball in about 2 seconds. If we go past a yard, it's a flag. So you watch it. They all kind of roll left, 1-1000, 2-1000, and then Kelce releases, and he goes and gets the linebacker. There's nobody to make the tackle. So that offense is just great. But offense versus defense, yeah, the 49ers had their whole defense. So you could have stopped them too. But the fact that the 49ers couldn't even compete offensively, I feel like they stole it. I feel like it was an open vault. What was your takeaway from the NFC Championship?
Yeah, just a shame. I mean, that would have been a great game if the 49ers had their quarterback play. That's pretty unfortunate. Philadelphia did catch a break there, but Philadelphia can just beat you in a bunch of different ways.
Yeah.
Their passing game, I think, is elite. It wasn't yesterday, so they decided to win on the ground and with their defense. They're just a really well-rounded team. Jalen Hurts is awesome. And a pretty incredible, like, ascension from year one to year two to now year three, where he's at. Seems like they love him there. And I think we slept on Philadelphia. Like, I think the last three games of the regular season when Hurts was hurt, I think we forgot how good they were. Jalen Hurts has only lost one game all year. He's 16-1. They've probably been the best team all year, at least in the NFC. And I think we just slept on him a little bit. So it should be a great Super Bowl. Especially if Mahomes is still just a little shaken up. I think that levels the playing field a bit. I think Philly has a very good chance to win. Very good.
Yeah, no, I didn't sleep on them. I said the whole time, Eagles. I've been, because Vikings fans have been hating me ever since I started tweeting that the Eagles are going to win. The Eagles are good. It's going to be tough to beat the Eagles. Even when the Vikings, I said that, I was like, who would you rather play? And I said, I do not want to play the Eagles. I play anybody else except the Eagles. Like, I said that, and you know, I said that on the show. Give me anybody else. You do not want the Eagles just because of how they put, like, offensively, they put you in a bind. And then defensively, I mean, they got Avante Maddox back. Shout out to Detroit Martin Luther King High School. By the way, Avante Maddox, Detroit Martin Luther King High School. Brandon Graham, Detroit. You look at Sauce Gardner, Detroit Martin Luther King High School. You got the other corner on the other side for the 49ers.
Ambry Thomas,
Detroit Martin Luther King High School. That's three DBs from one high school. That's nuts. That's nuts, the talent that my high school continues to put out. But that's one school. And then we're not talking about just Detroit, because you got Brandon Graham from Detroit and so on and so forth. We're not going on. But, yeah, three DBs all from one school. And then you wonder why we're the state champs back to back to back. Like, I think the last 10 years they've won it 6 or 7 times or something like that. Or it's crazy. But you see why. Avante Maddox, Sauce Gardner. And those guys also played offense too. Don't like Sauce Gardner wore 21. That was my high school number. That was kind of, you're the top receiver if you get 21 because of Desmond Howard, Michigan, you know, we're Detroit.
Yep.
But all the top receivers in my high school, 21 was kind of the number everybody wanted. Braylon Edwards brought that up before, that he wanted to wear that number. He ended up wearing 3, I think, because of my college number. But that's what everybody wanted. And Sauce Gardner had, he played receiver and DB. Ambry Thomas had it as well. LaVert Hill had it as well. He played DB there too. Don't forget about LaVert Hill. Played at Michigan. Another Detroit Martin Luther King. I mean, it's a lot of DBs there. But when you look at the NFC, that was kind of my takeaway. The Giants they showed what they could be against the Vikings, and then they ran up and just got buzzsawed with the Eagles. But the Eagles are going to buzzsaw everybody. I think the biggest thing for Patrick Mahomes, one, you could see on that one play when he rolled out, and he had to really put – he rolled out left. In order to throw it with his right hand, he had to put weight on that leg, like a lot of weight. Because that last run, that was just, okay, this is the end of the game. If I get hurt, I get hurt, but I'm going to get us to the Super Bowl. And everybody's like, oh, man, look at how passionate he is. And, you know, so many players sat out that could have played. And, yeah, he got all this money already. He got his big contract. Of course, if he gets hurt now and gets a team Super Bowl, he doesn't care. And then they have to win the Super Bowl with Chad Henne. Like, Patrick Mahomes, if he didn't have the money, I don't know. Like, now, again, his wasn't a knee, so ankle's a little bit different. High ankle sprain is one of those two where doctors tell you, like, if you play on it or you don't play, you can't hurt it anymore. Like, just go. Like, it's as bad as it's going to get with a high ankle sprain. Like, you can't break it because it's just a tendon. So, when you think about that, that was a lot. But him and resting, he put a lot of pressure on that to throw that one pass, and you could see him kind of get mad. Like, ugh. Like, I don't know if it was like he just, you could see it hurt him visually. Mm-hmm. And so the Eagles are going to make him move. Like, Nick Sirianni, he's talking to his coordinators, everybody now. Hey, look, we got to find ways to get Patrick Mahomes off his spot because I don't think he can beat us when he's moving. And I don't think he can. Like, he didn't move enough. They let him stay in the pocket and do just enough with the Bengals. But if I'm them, I'm going man, and I'm going to say, hey, look, you guys got to cover for at least 2.5 seconds. Let us get there because we're going to keep blitzing and making him – because even if he dumps it off to Jet McKinnon, you're not getting beat for a 15, 20-yard deep ball. So that's kind of my thoughts going into that one. Kind of a long first segment. We got the Daily 3 coming up, of course, later. We also have a busy week. We got a lot of players we're going to be talking to over the next 2 weeks. So the next 2 weeks, it's going to be some great content from a football standpoint, people. We're working on Mel Blount. We got Cordell Stewart in the hopper. Akin Andale, former Purdue grad, played with me, played for the Jaguars. Worked out with me, same agent, played for the Jaguars. We got Travis Stevens, Buccaneers. We're talking to Deshaun Foster, UCLA. Went to the Super Bowl with the Panthers. So got a lot of guys in the hopper. As we get ready for this, Bernard Berrian. I mean, some of your favorite former Vikings. He has a Super Bowl story as well. Alex Brown with the Bears. We've got a lot of guys. We've got to figure out how to get them all in when you got 2 weeks. But we're working on a lot of good people. And if some don't, I mean, Ernie Wheelwright, former Gopher. If it doesn't come up in the next 2 weeks, stick with us. Because even once the season ends, we still got to start talking offseason. And what's next for the Vikings? And what's the NFL going to look like? What is this quarterback carousel going to look like? Because now it looks like the Packers are going to move on. They're saying, hey, we're willing to move on from Aaron Rodgers, but who wants to give us what we want? Because we will make him stay and retire. I don't care. Like, if I'm a billionaire owner, I don't care. You can retire for all I care. I really don't care if you don't want to be here, but I'm not trading you for less than what I want. But we got that coming up next. And also, check out our Locked On Sports Minnesota podcast on YouTube, following every Twins, Vikings, Wilder, Wolves game. Our Locked On team hosts are broadcasting live with team insiders. Never miss a podcast by subscribing to Locked On Sports Minnesota on YouTube. And we have a word from our sponsors.
It's FanDuel, our new partners here at Locked On. The only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel. It's America's number one sports book. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. So download that now. You can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line, point spreads, and who will score the first touchdown. Of course, we'll have our RJ parlays coming up on this show where, I don't know, it might be a 15-leg parlay that Ron puts together because there's going to be so many props at FanDuel, and you get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Well, Sam, we talked a lot of football in that first segment. It was a long one. We're going to do a little quick basketball check because it is basketball season. Basketball is my first love. Like, I love basketball. And on Friday's roundtable, you, Gabe, and I, we kind of broke down this Timberwolves. And when you think about the Timberwolves team currently and where they stand, and I said the next 2 out of 3 games, one will give us a little bit of an indication of who the Timberwolves are going to be or who they could be. And I said the one key component to that was Anthony Edwards. I said Anthony Edwards in these next couple of games has to really show who he is. And so if you look at the Grizzlies game, because that was the game where you're like, oh, the Grizzlies have always had the Timberwolves numbers the last couple of years. Last year, they had the Timberwolves number. Ja Morant came into his own. But when you look at that game, they won 111 to 100. But what did Anthony Edwards do? He gave you 25. He gave you 7 and 7. 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and 25 points. Kyle Anderson gave you a boost, 23. D'Angelo Russell, 19. Now, Rudy Gobert, that's 7 points, but the 13 rebounds. 13 rebounds by Rudy Gobert. That's kind of the Rudy Gobert they need. Now, he needs to have a little bit more to it. And then you'll get the 3 seed in the Kings. That's another one. People are like, oh, man, the Timberwolves just don't have enough. 117 to 110. They found a way to win that. Again, Anthony Edwards, 34. He dropped 34 and 10. Double-double. D'Angelo Russell gives you another 25. And I also saw tweets about this. And I don't know who exactly. I'm not stealing it. It's not my take. But I saw somebody's tweet say, I don't know what y'all need to do, but you need to find a way to sign D'Angelo Russell now. And I don't know if that's the answer. But again, everybody has their opinion. And if that is the answer, you're signing D'Angelo Russell now, you got to find a way to get rid of Rudy Gobert. I don't feel like when Karl Anthony Towns comes back, that Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell can coexist with Jaden McDaniels. Like, I don't see it. Because again, that's now a congested lane. D'Angelo Russell is not a dagger three-point shooter all the time. He's a drive, pop at the free throw line guy. If you come up, I'm going to kick it to Cat. Cat can lay it up. But Cat can space out on the wing and hit a deep jumper or a three-pointer. He can also pick and then roll pop, meaning he's going to roll, but then roll back behind me kind of up to the top. Like we've seen a lot of bigs like Jokic and those guys that can shoot where you don't traditionally roll or pop out. You kind of roll and get back to a different spot that's not natural, but now you're wide open because everybody's thinking you're going to dive. That's like Rudy Gobert can't do that. If Rudy Gobert pick and rolls, he's going to go to the basket. That's all he has. He's not going to pop. He's not going to jump, step out and hit a deep jumper. So if you're signing D'Angelo Russell, I just don't feel like this Gobert project is going to work. But again, they're the 5 seed right now. I said they won 2 out of 3. They could jump back up to the top, and they are up there. They're number 5. Now, again, they have to win this game now because – The Warriors have won, and they're back in this. It's 6. The West is so tight. And so when you think about the West, if they beat the Kings and they win again, I mean, again, they got the Warriors. And so now they're going to face the team that's hot. Like, the Warriors weren't playing great because we know Steph was out. Klay wasn't 100% back yet. Draymond was punching people, so he was out. Jordan Poole couldn't see out of one eye because Draymond Green had lumped him up. So there was a lot going on in that organization. Those guys weren't even getting along and passing the ball to each other. They didn't even want to be on the same court at the same time. But when you think about this Timberwolves team, man, like it's so close. The problem is Cat ever coming back? You know, if they end up as a 3 seed or 4 seed, and after the All-Star break, Cat comes back, and then they drop back down to 8, then do you move on from Cat? Like, do you try to find a trade partner for Cat? And try to get more draft capital. You try to get the first overall pick and go get Victor Wembanyama. Like, I don't know if anybody's going to give you the first pick for Karl Anthony Towns. Probably not. But you can go get Victor and pair him with Anthony Edwards. I don't know. Because he's unproven. Again, we keep saying, like, we thought Chet Holmgren was the next great. And look at him. He's just an average NBA player. He couldn't even make it the first year. Injury. So... Is Victor a little bit better? Is he a little bit stronger? Is he less? Not going to get hurt? I don't know. So, because we keep thinking this because these rookies and these phenoms, hey, it might not work out. Everybody didn't believe in the Ball brother, the younger one. The older one kind of set a bad precedent because they're like, oh, he's not as good as we thought he's going to be. The younger brother's actually pretty good. But again, he can't stay healthy. His ankles are weak. But when you look at the Timberwolves, that's where I'm thinking is like, what is this team going to look like? Because now I'm confused because I thought they weren't going to be good because they were 25 and 25 at the same point last year. So why trade all your people? You're just where you are. But now with the West, they're actually the 5 seed. And I have to go back and look. I don't remember if they were ever in the top 3 seeds last year, like at any point in the season. So if they can get into top 4, they're into territory they haven't been in before. So I don't know. What do you think, Sam?
Yeah, the West was so much better last year. It's kind of crazy like, because the West has been dominant for decades. This is the most parity, and maybe mediocrity is a better word, that I've ever seen. But honestly, Ron, like, think last 15 games. So you went to the Detroit game at Target Center. They lost. Mm-hmm. Six game losing streak. Since then, 11-4. Really, really close losses against Utah and Denver. Probably should have had those games, but you can live with those results. They had two bad losses at Houston and at Detroit. Other than that, this has been a great 15-game stretch, all without Cat. Gobert's giving you more what you need from him. He's just impacting things on the defensive end, not always showing up in the box score, but he alters shots, cleans the glass, keeps people out of the way. Edwards is asserting himself. I like the way this team's playing right now. Now, I do worry about bringing Cat back into the fold, but Cat was posting on Instagram yesterday watching the Eagles game. He's still in a boot. This might be a long-term thing, and he might not play again this year. He's not showing up to games. He seems disgruntled. Weird stuff's going on with Cat, Ron. Now, moving on from Cat, I think that's an off-season decision. Mm-hmm. That's not an in-season decision because he has no trade value right now. He's hurt. I think you're rolling with who you have this year, because you're not gonna make a tank move when you're the five seed. And I don't know if you can really, maybe you can acquire. You might be able to acquire somebody, but you have to give pieces up. And I don't want to give up Naz Reid. I love Naz Reid. I'm attached to Naz Reid. So if they just roll with what they have, I kind of like the way they're playing. So maybe if Cat comes back at some point, maybe that elevates them to the next level, but keep it up. I'm turning a corner with this Wolves team, Ron. Feeling optimistic.
Yeah, you know what? And it's all about the playoffs. It depends on when you get in the playoffs, who you have to play, where your seed. I mean, right now, they're the five seed. So they would just play the Clippers. Now, are the Clippers, you know, like, what are the Clippers going to be? Is Kawhi Leonard and Paul George that guy? Like, are they going to be ready to go? Are they fully bought into what the Clippers are doing? Because the Clippers have been up and down. When you look at the Grizzlies, 50 games in. 32-18, 32 games left. Last year, they only lost 26 games. 26 games total. So they have to finish. Like, they can only lose 8 games right now out of that 32. 8. They can, in order to just be where they were last year, which is the same seed. I mean, they were the 2 seed last year. They're the 2 seed now. But that's, you're right. That's the difference in the West now. Is last year's third seed had only lost 29 games. The fourth seed had only lost 30 games. The fifth seed had only lost 33 games. And then the sixth seed only lost 34 games. And so that's the big difference now, is you got your seven seed at 25. You got your eight at 25. So it's kind of bottlenecked at that bottom. Because, I mean, I don't know, like 34 losses, that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. 34 losses was the sixth seed. I mean, that means the Warriors can only lose 10 more. They'd have to go 22 or 23-10 to kind of stay at that sixth seed, if that's the trajectory. Same with the Timberwolves at 27-25. So it is a little bit different league, but I think overall they're all just beating each other up. You know, like the Grizzlies losing to the Timberwolves. That wasn't supposed to happen that way. The Kings losing to the Timberwolves. And the Timberwolves might sweep the Kings if they beat them tonight. It's a sweep. Mm-hmm. That wasn't supposed to happen. But when you think about these games, I mean, the stretch of the Nuggets now, the Jazz, and then they get the Grizzlies again February 10th. That's our anniversary from when we got engaged. February 10th, I asked her to marry me. That was like 2006 maybe. She was asleep, though. I put the ring on her when she was asleep. So it was one of those where she woke up, didn't know she was engaged, you know, and then I wrote in the mirror, you know, it was a note. So, and it took her a while to even realize she was wearing a ring.
Impressive stealth to get that ring on.
Yeah.
While she was sleeping. Wow. Very
yeah,
good.
Took a lot. It's a long story behind it. Some KY jelly was involved because I could not get it on. It's really because it was tight. So I had to use some. I mean, I was Googling, like, because I'm like, Vaseline, no, that's not a good idea. And so I was Googling stuff and I was like, yep. So I actually went to the store at like 1 a.m. I was up late. I was nervous. Went to the store 1 a.m. Yeah, got the ring on her. But yeah, February 10th, that's our anniversary, our engagement anniversary. And then the next couple Timberwolves games, I'll be watching from the beach in Mexico. So I'll look forward to talking to you from Mexico in that February stretch of games. That's after the Super Bowl. So we'll be hard on the Twins at this point. We'll be tough on the Wild at that point. We'll be talking, is Carlos Correa going to help rebuild the Twins at that point? Because there's going to be a lot of moves there in the offseason, and people are starting to speculate what's going to happen spring training. But I'm looking forward to this. But, of course, coming up next, we got the Daily Three. That's three questions, 3 minutes each. We're going to keep an eye on these Timberwolves. Like, we're going to keep a close eye on these Timberwolves because you never really know who they're going to be until you see a couple stretch. Now, if they, like I said, they beat this next, if they win tonight, and they beat the Warriors? I mean, Sam seems to think they're for real. They might be for real. Because if they could beat the Grizzlies, the Kings, and the Warriors, maybe, I don't know, maybe you keep Kat and Rudy Gobert off the court at the same times. Like, you put one on, do your work there, and then you put him, and he got a different look. You treat him, you know, 1A, 1B. You don't have them start together. Maybe that's the answer. I don't know. But remember, when you subscribe to Locked On Sports Minnesota, you're getting endless Vikings talk with local experts. Subscribe to the free Locked On Sports Minnesota podcast feed wherever you find your podcast, and find our videos on the Locked On Sports Minnesota's YouTube channel. And we have a word from our sponsors.
Well, it's January 30th. Hopefully, you're still sticking with your New Year's resolutions. Maybe you're working out more. Maybe you're eating healthier. And maybe Built Bar is part of that. Because when you eat Built Bars, you're not compromising tastes. They're still delicious. However, they are good for you. Good tasting, good for you. It's a great combination when you have unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond, covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. I don't know how Built does it, but the bars taste like a candy bar, and they maintain these amazing macros, 4 grams of sugar, only 130 calories, 17 grams of protein to fuel you. Don't wait around to get your box. Go to Walmart or Sam's Club. You can get the 4-bar box for just a few. You can stock up with a 13-bar box, Baker's Dozen, at Sam's Club. Get some brownie batter puffs. And stock up for the month of February. You can thank me later. You can also go to Built.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON15.
Well, Sam, it's time of the show I love. It's the Daily Three. That's 3 questions, 3 minutes each. Take it away.
All right, Ron. Early Super Bowl storylines. We got the Kelce Bowl. We got the Andy Reid revenge match against the team that fired him. What's your favorite early storyline for Super Bowl 57?
Well, one of the early ones, of course, I tweeted it, was I like the fact that there's some Vikings going to be, you know, going to get another chance. Because we always, I think Vikings fans love to hate or love to feel bad about Minnesota football when other Vikings leave and win Super Bowls. And so Linval Joseph, Anthony Harris, 2 guys that are playing for the Eagles that were actually big pieces of the Vikings team. And then, of course, you get people that come on and they want to tweet other people, Smith Marset. I'm not like – and Jerick McKinnon, yes, Jerick McKinnon is one with the Chiefs, but no, he wasn't on the Chiefs last time they won. So, yes, this might be Jets' first time. But when you think about that, here's the biggest problem with some of the other people they named. Like, they were naming some other guys on these tweets, and I'm like, those guys didn't play for the Vikings, though. They tried out, maybe played 1 or 2 games, and then left. So you can't really consider them. Like, if they didn't get a full year and contributed, like, you can't really consider them a Viking as if it matters. Like, they were just here for training camp. They didn't go to the Eagles and become superstar. Like, because I can see that. Like, oh, I can't believe, like, Big Poppy. I can't believe we cut them, and then they're superstars. So one, that's one of the storylines I like, that you got Linval Joseph, you know, after everything he's been through in the offseason. Vikings fans want him, and he's a big piece of this Eagles defense. He's a big run stopper. I still don't understand why we didn't sign him. Oh, my goodness, he was here working out. But I do like the Kelce. I love the Kelce one because the mom – people keep saying, like, it's win-win for her. No matter what, she's gonna have a winner. I'm like, these are her kids. No matter what, she's gonna have a loser too. Like, oh no, but she's gonna have a winner. No, I'm like, as a parent, I'm a parent with 2 kids, and I've seen my one daughter win softball, and I've seen my other daughter lose softball. It doesn't matter that one won. I can't sit up here and say, oh, she's a champion and you're a loser. Like, no, like, I gotta, hey, it's okay, you lost. So I love that story. So her, she has her jersey already, like the half and half jersey where she has the Chiefs Eagles jersey. And, you know, like, I love that storyline for that simple fact of, you know, first time two brothers are going to play. It's going to be a ton of media. They have their own show as well. So there's going to be a ton of media following them all Super Bowl week as they talk about their, because normally they don't talk, you know, before they're going to play. And so they're going to have to talk now because they have to be there together, Super Bowl. So they, you know, the stage and all the stuff. Like, I think it's going to be a cool story. Their family's going to be there. Like, it's going to be cool. So that's one of the ones I like. I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, I think I'm just paying attention to this Mahomes legacy that he's building. Like right now, he's got one Super Bowl win. This is appearance number three. Five AFC championships. Like if he wins number two, it just vaults you into this automatic rarefied air. And I love watching greatness. And I think Mahomes is generationally great, maybe going to be the greatest of all time by the time it's over. But Brady's always going to have seven, right? So when Mahomes has these opportunities to win Super Bowls early in his career like this, he kind of has to take advantage. Like if he ever wants to approach Tom Brady territory, he's got to win. He's got to win when he makes it to the Super Bowl. That's the one thing that Brady didn't always do. Brady didn't always win the Super Bowl. How many losses does he have? Five? Six? He's been in a million.
Yeah.
Mahomes is 1-1, and Brady beat him one. But I'm so fascinated by quarterback legacies. And to get a second ring, that is such a validator for QBs. So I'm paying attention to Mahomes. And I think him battling through the injury, too, is very intriguing.
Yeah, that was the whole Peyton Manning, Eli Manning. Two rings, and hey, they both ended up with it, but we know Peyton's Hall of Famer, so is Eli Hall of Famer. We'll see. What you got next?
All right, put on your prediction hat, Ron. The Vikings have interviewed Ryan Nielsen of the Saints, Brian Flores of the Steelers, Sean Desai of the Seahawks, and Mike Pettine internally. Those are the four candidates for defensive coordinator. Who do you expect to get hired? I'm guessing it's going to happen pretty soon here.
Yeah, so my initial was Brian Flores. One of my inside sources seems to think he's going to get an NFL head coaching job. But when you look at like all the issues the Denver Broncos are having, my question is, are the Arizona Cardinals? Because that's where the Flores buzz is heading, towards Arizona Cardinals. But is it going to be similar issues there? Like, is there going to be similar issues where people are like, I don't want to, like, are the Broncos going to have to offer Brian Flores a job? Because nobody wants it. Like, Harbaugh turned it down. They went back and flew to Michigan. Harbaugh comes out saying, nope, I'm not leaving. Then they fly back out again to meet with them. So it's like, what's like, why does anybody want this job? Like, what's so bad about Denver? Like, what's going on with the owners? Is it John Elway? Like, something's not right there that is not sitting right with people. Maybe it's Russell Wilson. People are like, look, I hate this. Like, we got to stop saying let's ride. I'm not being the head coach if we're still riding. I don't know. But I do feel like Brian Flores is a lead candidate, but what you don't want to do is hire him as defensive coordinator, and then he's still getting head coaching interviews, because we've seen that before where coaches like kind of get hired, preliminary contracts not done, and then they end up leaving like before they even show up to the one place and they get another job somewhere else. I don't remember. Somebody else did that. I can't remember if it was Josh McDaniels or somebody where they like took one job and then literally – right after that took another job, like got a better offer or something after an interview. So Brian Flores, I'd be careful with that one, because that could happen where you hire him as deep, you know, you offer him the defense coordinator job, he takes it, and then the Cardinals reach out to him and they hire him, and then you have to go back and search again. And then is Ryan, you know, Ryan Nielsen and then Mike Pettine, you know, are they going to feel like, oh, I'm your second choice? You know, you don't want that. So yeah, I think it's going to be a tough one for them, but I don't know. What is your early thoughts?
Yeah. I just have a hard time generating opinions on Desai and Nielsen. It's really difficult to figure out what they're about and you know what kind of influence they've actually had. I'm higher on Mike Pettine than everyone else. Everyone else hates that because he was associated with Ed Donatell's defense and there's the stench of the season is on him. I don't hate Mike Pettine. I think he has a really good resume. And if he were given the keys, I think it would be different. But that's an unpopular opinion. Brian Flores seems to be the most popular opinion. Like you said, I don't know if he's going to settle for this coordinator job. Right. Even if he took it, Ron, you would probably lose him really soon.
Correct.
So maybe it's better to have someone who might stick around for a couple of years so you don't have a revolving door. But I'm just going to let it play out.
On your Mike Pettine talk, you're dead on too. I agree. I like Mike Pettine. He was my coach in Baltimore. Like he was our assistant defensive guy, so he did special teams, so I was around him a lot for special teams and video film with Rex Ryan, and he was like, he and I talked because we've talked like just non-football, just hey, how's life, man, in Baltimore, X, Y, and Z, man, Bart Scott, Ed Reed, da, da. And one of the things I asked him was about the defense that I know he can run, because I've seen it firsthand with the Ravens, I've seen it with the Jets with Bart Scott. And what that defense is Rex Ryan's defense, was probably Buddy Ryan's defense. When you go way back to the Bear defense, you put more people in gaps than they think are accounted for. And watch the 49ers. I think they did it a bunch too. Because I have to go back and see, you know, their defense coordinator, D'Amico Ryans, and who he's come from. But I think it's a Rex Ryan type of deal somehow in there, some way, or some connection to the Buddy Ryan deal. And when you watch one of their blitzes, 54 Warner actually runs up, contacts the center, and then bails out. And I think Jalen Hurts throws it like right behind him. He almost, you know, almost becomes a big play by him, but Jalen Hurts gets it out quick because he's an athletic quarterback. But in that defense, it was chaos. And that's what Mike Pettine can bring. He can bring you that chaos defense. So I do agree with you. I do like Mike Pettine there.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to improvise on this third question here because we kind of already talked about the Timberwolves. Let me ask you this. Who is one Viking that you would absolutely want to extend this year? Somebody who is going into the last year of their deal this year, so the extension window would be open. KJ Osborne would be an option. TJ Hockenson would be an option. Cam Dantzler would be an option. Anybody of that variety that you would give an extension to?
Yeah, I would go with TJ Hockenson. I just think when you look at the NFL, look at these teams in the Super Bowl first. You know, you think about the Eagles and their tight ends. Mm-hmm. You think about the 49, even the Final Four. You think about Hurst with the Bengals. You think about Kelsey with the Chiefs. You know, you look at Goddard. You look at all these guys. Go back to the Eagles when they won before. It was Zach Ertz. You know what I mean? Like, it's always been about that. It's the teams with, and then, of course, Brady is always Gronk. You got to have a tight end in today's NFL when you think about what I just talked about, the blitz. Who's going to be your outlet? Who's going to be a pick it up? Who's going to have the mismatch with the linebacker? Who's going to give you that red zone presence? It's TJ Hockenson. And so I do feel like for so long, the Vikings kept trying to find a tight end. Like, hey, who's it? We're going to draft this guy. We're going to do, and it, you know, it always kind of like, never really works out. You have a guy now. I don't know how to work it because we know he wanted big money. That's why the Lions were willing to part ways with him. But I would do TJ Hockenson because of you look at these teams. And what does Pat Mitchell Mahomes rely on? He relies on Travis Kelce. That's the key for there. The Eagles don't rely on their tight end, but they use them. The Bengals, Hayden Hurst wasn't the main guy because we know Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, but they used him. I mean, look at the big plays he had on the over routes and some of those big plays he had in the red zone and then the outlets. He was a big outlet for Joe Burrow. You look at the 49ers. Oh, my goodness. Like, without George Kittle, they don't win any of those games. Like, he was a big part. He did have a quiet early start, and maybe that was a quarterback change and, you know, whatever. But Brock Purdy, and again, when you're the third quarterback, maybe, hey, I know the tight end's open, so I'm going there. But Brock Purdy put George Kittle back in the Pro Bowl. And so when you think about it, maybe that's that Iowa State-Iowa connection. Like, hey, man, we're Iowans. Let's make this happen. Mm-hmm. But you got to have a tight end. So TJ Hockenson would be my answer.
Yeah, Darren Waller is the highest paid tight end in terms of annual salary, $17 million a year. I think Hockenson asks for that. Like, I think that he would probably try to set the market or at least match it. At minimum, he's getting Kittle money.
Right.
And that's $15 million a year. I mean, that's a huge expense, and people need to take that into account when they're talking about, well, keeping Adam Thielen around.
Correct.
And, you know, that is a huge number. So I agree. I want Hockenson here long term, but you have to sacrifice to make that work.
Today's NFL, I mean, it's either you have two really good receivers and a subpar, like, and Hayden Hurts is not subpar, but he's a middle tier tight end, middle to third tier tight end. Mm-hmm. Eagles, same thing. Two good receivers, really good receivers. I mean, Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown, and then you have a middle-of-the-road tight end, but good. Or you have Debo, and you have Kittle. You have Kelce and everybody and anybody. So, you know, you have to pick it. You have Gronk and then a whole bunch of, like, supporting cast members of receivers. So you have to figure out what your offense is going to look like, and you're right. Like, it can't be Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson and T.J. unless Adam Thielen wants to take middle-of-the-road receiver money, and that's going to be the question mark. Is he willing to take a pay cut and hope that another team's going to give him $9 million or $8 million, or even $7 million? Because if he's going to get five somewhere else, might as well take five here. You know, if he's going to get four, and that's what Blake Bortles' agent is going to have to look into. Like, what are you guys willing to offer my client if I were to get him out of Minnesota? And that's going to be the question. Is it worth uprooting your family, going to another team? Kyle Rudolph had said it. You know, we're going to try to work and get Kyle Rudolph on the show. We got to figure that time out. But Kyle Rudolph said it. Like, hey, if I can stay in Minnesota, I will. But if they don't even want me, what can I do? You know, like he said that. And so, again, regime change, coaches change, money is different. But, you know, but a Tampa Bay is not a bad place to uproot from Minnesota. That's the difference. It's not like he, you know, it's not like he went to somewhere else and you're like, oh, man, like Denver. And you just, it's terrible. You know, no, he went to Tampa. So it's not a bad transition for old Kyle Rudolph. But I want to thank everybody for listening, liking, sharing, commenting, continue to be a part of the Ron Johnson Show family. Myself, Sam Ekstrom, we really appreciate you. Locked On Sports as well. Remember, we're powered by FanDuel. So you want to make every moment more? Just do what I did. These parlays, man, it makes the game so much more fun to watch. Like Sam said, when Travis Kelce got that first touchdown, that's when you feel it. You're like, oh, wait, this might happen. Like, that's how parlays are. If one thing happens that was not supposed to, like the first touchdown score of any team, hey, I was like, okay, all right, here we go. And it was early. So be a part of that. It's fun. But remember, if you want endless Vikings talk, make sure you subscribe to Locked On Sports Minnesota on YouTube, where you can find all of our videos, all of our shows, instant podcasts after every game, and the Vikings press conferences delivering all the biggest news. Like our videos and leave your thoughts in the comment section below. I want to thank you. Have a great day.